We have just started a series called Bless, and Jill kind of launched us off into that. And this is the first Sunday. Did anybody not get this? It's in your bulletin, and they tried to hand it one to everybody. So if you didn't get one, get up now and go grab one on the back table, and because we want you to have this, because each Sunday we are going to have another insert put into this. And so let me pray as we kind of talk about the series we're in, Bless, which is also the third leg of our vision. And this is really cool stuff. I mean, we have seasons where we look at what's it mean to love God? And you love God, and it's like it's awesome because then it opens the doors even more for his love to come pour into you. And then you come here on Sunday, you love God in your time with him one-on-one, and then you come to church and you get to know brothers and sisters and you figure out how to love one another, and it's that's really cool. Sometimes it's tough, but you work through it and you're blessed by that. And when we love God and love one another, we get filled out spiritually. And then we go and bless others. And so I think God's really led us to the series. And so we're going to really, this is not one of those just let's learn what God says about something series. This series falls flat and is meaningless and valueless if it doesn't do something in us, create blessings. And I can tell you already that, and I kind of watch for this, but we have people who are experiencing opportunities to bless as we're just starting this in some really cool ways. And so I think God's hands on this message for you and me. This is important, and we need to pay attention to this. And besides, blessing is a lot of fun. So let's pray. So Father in heaven, we do come in the name, the amazing name of Jesus that we've been singing. We thank you for your Son who loves us. And Lord, as a church, we just welcome everybody that's here this morning, especially anyone visiting for the first time. And we are asking that your Spirit, we pray for your Spirit to give us understanding, discernment of the Word of God, because otherwise it's just our brains trying to figure stuff out. But the Word of God is living and breathing, and it needs your Spirit to unlock it in a way that's just more than information. And open up our hearts to be moved, Jesus, to follow in your steps, because when you said, follow me, it's becoming just like you. And so we pray that too in your name. And all of God's people said, amen, amen. All right, and also I guess I should say there is a sermon outline, and hopefully that was in your little blessing folder, as because I think there's some handles here. Is what does it mean? The first B, so bless, is just an acronym meaning begin with prayer. So B, begin with prayer. And then L is listen with care, which we'll talk about that in 2 weeks, because next week we're continuing this idea of begin with prayer and having a celebration service to praise God for what he has been doing in this church in the last year and look at what he's going to be doing. And so next Sunday's a special celebration service, which we also do annually right after the week of fast and prayer that we're having this week. So B, begin with prayer. L, listen with care. E, eat together. And we'll talk about that. And then S, serve with love, right? Serve with love. And then the last S is simply just share your story. And so we're going to help equip each other how to be blessers in a world that so deeply needs that, right? So it's going to be kind of fun. But this morning, begin with prayer. The Bible, besides being a very helpful tool in life, is one story. And we know, I think most Christians get the big story, right? from Genesis to Revelation, from the beginning to the end. The Bible is the story of God trying to bring the world back into relationship with him. Because that relationship was lost in the garden when Adam and Eve, out of selfishness, chose their own way. And you are doing the same thing. Thank goodness I'm not like you. But you also are selfish, and God went to great lengths, even the death of his son, to bring you back into relationship with him. But do you know there's another big part of that story besides God trying to bring the world back into relationship with him? And I never really grasped this until I read Genesis a little more closely. And that second point is God's trying to bless the world through his people. So he is trying to draw the world closer, but he's trying to bless the world through his church. That's you. And so that is a big part of what's going on. And so that's why we need to pause a moment and begin this spiritual calendar with looking at blessing. And you can be opening up your Bibles to Genesis 12 briefly. Jill preached on this more extensively, but there's something else I want to draw out of that. And so open up your Bibles, turn on your phones, and swipe to Genesis 12 verses 1 through 3. Because what we're about to read is that God commanded, there's a command to bless others. We are commanded to bless others. It says verse 1. Now the Lord said to Abram, and we learn that Abram later becomes Abraham, father of nations, and Sarah, his wife. Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you, and I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you, and bless the person who just sneezed, and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse, and in you all families of the earth shall be blessed. Lots of blessing over and over in this, right? But what's interesting in this is there's two commandments. I don't know if you can catch it in the words. The first one's the easy one. Go from your country. And I'm not going to take a lot of time in that, but a command is an imperative. It is something God is saying, we must do this because he has commanded it. It's not a suggestion. It's a go. And what's interesting with Abraham is when God said go, it took faith for Abraham to leave the world he knew, step out of his comfort zone, and follow God. But there's a second imperative in there. Can you see it? It's actually not even written as an imperative, even though it is. It's translated as a suggestion or a good idea, and it reads this way. And it's in verse 2, God says, I will make you a great nation, I will bless you, and make your name great. And so God's telling Abram about all the blessings he's going to pour on him. And then it says this, so that you will be a blessing. But that's not really what it's saying. In the Hebrew, it's just very simply, be a blessing. And so it's actually another imperative. And so it's written in this passive voice of so that you will be a blessing. And it's kind of like God saying, hey, Abram, go follow me, and I'm going to bless you, and I'm just going to pour all kinds of blessings on you, and you're just going to be so blessed that you're going to be awesome, and people are going to want to be like you. But that's not really what it's saying. Now, you got to understand, I'm a California Christian from the 80s, and we don't like imperatives. We don't like anyone telling us what to do, even if it's God. Really? I mean, any Californians here? You're all good with the imperative. But, you know, and so it's kind of like, I retranslated this verse, so please write this in your Bible. Instead of God saying, be a blessing, just say, now the Lord said to Abram, I'm really going to bless you a lot for following me, But would you also consider being a blessing to others in return? At least would you pray about it, God says. You see, when God gives us command, be a blessing. This is your and my missional call in life. This is God's call to go live a life of blessing to the world because we ourselves are so blessed. And just like Abram, in a different context and way, our blessing others in this missional call will help move people closer to Christ. Sounds kind of good, huh? So, what's the point? We are being blessed so that we can go bless. Do you understand that? You are being blessed to bless. You are being blessed to become a blesser. Can I say it any clearer? I'll just say that over and over for the next hour. Turn over to Psalm 67 if you're so inclined, or we'll put the words up here. But I want you to see this wasn't just the beginning of a movement, starting with one old man and woman. This is something that even Israel, the people, understood, that they were being blessed so the world could know God. And we see this, and we're only going to read the first two verses of Psalm 67. And this is, and sometimes Psalms are, they're like poetry. Well, they are poetry, but they do different things. But this particular Psalm 67 is actually a prayer. And remember, this message is begin with prayer if we're going to be blessings. And it just begins, may God. And when you read that in the New Testament or Old Testament, that is a form of a prayer. But it's being sung, and it says, may God be gracious to us. Who's us in this psalm? Who's singing? Israelites, the Jews in the Old Testament. And these are some of the things they would sing at the temple or the tabernacle. And so, may God be gracious to us and do what? Bless us. Bless us. So they're saying, yeah, bless us. And make his face shine upon us. You know, and you hear that, you know, we sing that. Isn't there a song, you know, his face shine upon us? And so that, I think, is really the mantra of Christianity today. We are seeking the presence of God. We're wanting God to bless us. Some take it so far as prosperity gospels. God's just wanting to make you rich, healthy, and wise, you know. And so there's that idea, bless us, right? Matter of fact, you know, I think there's this bless me mentality. But listen to what the second verse says. There's a purpose behind this blessing. May we be blessed and you shine your face upon us that your way may be known on earth, your saving power among all the nations. And it's interesting that the church in Acts is called the way. They're singing that your way. They're praying that your way may be known to the earth. Now, who's the earth? Is it Israel? No, it's everyone else besides. This is a prayer of blessing that the whole earth would come to know God. But not just, you know, why is the church called the way? Where'd that come from? John 14:6, when Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So he is the way. So they're praying, bless us, that in some way, God, the world may know your way, know you, know ultimately Christ, right? So isn't this cool? And so I just got to say, you know, I love all the Christian resources that are out there, but let's be careful, man. We go to endless conferences. We listen to daily Christian podcasts. We listen to Christian worship music. And God blesses our lives. He blesses our relationships, and he meets us. He shines his face upon us, and it's so easy for us to, we're getting basically blessing obese. We're getting obese on his blessings, to put it that way. And it's time that we work off some of this excess of blessing, right? And the way you work it off is by blessing others, okay? And like Jill said last week, there's always more when it comes to God. Don't worry about giving away and exercising all the blessings God's given you, because there's always more. Amen? So we are blessed that others will know God through us and come to know God's way. And like Abraham, every good thing that God gives you and me, every blessing from above is used as part of God's mission that he's called us on. So everything he's given you and me has a purpose behind it, every blessing. But it's not just in the Old Testament. We can see Jesus commanding us to go and be outrageous blessers. And I'm going to anchor most of this morning in Luke 6. And so Luke 6, you can turn there or swipe there and know that you're going to be anchored there for the rest of the morning. So Jesus commands us to go and bless others. And what's fun for me, because I love getting down into the nitty-gritty, the depth of the words of each word and sentence of the Bible, but it's fun once in a while to swipe your pages and do a big overview. And we're not even, you know, going to be looking at the letters that Paul and Peter wrote about prayer, the importance of beginning with prayer. We're just going to kind of look at some of the things in Luke, the story of Jesus. And if you were to, we're not going to read these, but even in Luke 6, we see Jesus speaking the Beatitudes over people, over his followers. And the Beatitudes are blessings. Blessed are those, blessed are you. And he goes through all these blessings of those who are living their lives spiritually for God. So he speaks all these blessings on his followers, but then he transitions and pronounces woes on those who are very blessed and full of religion, but don't live their life as a blessing. And I don't know if you've ever looked at the Beatitudes and the woes in that way. But if you were to read the woes, which we're not going to do, but what's interesting is he's basically saying, you know, for example, but woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. He goes through all these things of wealth and provisions, material blessings, and he says, you keep your wealth to yourself. Woe, you know, on you, and woe to those who hold back blessings from, then he says, feeding the hungry. You have so much and you don't bless anybody. And then he even goes into the last woe about those that are seeking the pleasures of life and the popularity of the people. Woe, you live with all that you have just to be popular and take pleasure in life. Woe on you, Jesus says. So in that context, we now see Jesus talk about blessings and prayer. But it is outrageous. It is outrageous when you think about who he's saying to bless. And so look at verse 27 in chapter 6. And Jesus says, but I say to you, after he just spoke the woes, who hear, and he spoke the blessings and woes, he drew a contrast between the two. But I say to you who hear, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Listen to this. Pray for those who abuse you. Could you imagine a world like this? If every person prayed and blessed even their enemies? Do good, bless, pray, love. Now, I know that, you know, you being good Christians would never say you have enemies, you know, because, you know, just wouldn't be right. But come on, It's kind of cool. And just to pause a moment, the church wants to hear your testimonies, God stirs your heart as Spirit works in you, gives you opportunities to live out this blessing. We want to hear a testimony every week, or testimonies. And so I heard one that we won't even hear this morning tied into this, but you will hear this story of how it's tough to, you know, love your enemies. But we don't call them enemies. We call them antagonists. Are you more comfortable, you know, bless your antagonists? I just call them jerks. Keeping it real here. Really, come on. We're Christians, but we still feel hurt when someone, you know, gossips and slams us or mistreats us, right? And Jesus is telling those that are wanting to follow him, you're going to need to pray for the worst case. And you're going to then need to turn around and bless them. And what's interesting is let's read what he says after this, and starting verse 29, he says, to one who strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from the one who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic. Take your shirt off and give that to him too. And give to everyone who begs from you. And from one who takes away your goods, do not demand them back. And as you wish that others would do to you, do so to them. And this jumped down to verse 36. And then he kind of wraps it up. Be merciful, even as your Father is merciful. You see, that word bless can be described in so many ways. Every moment you're being merciful and doing the opposite of what your heart wants to do to that, I want to say jerk, antagonist. You know, and then it's like, I just got back from vacation and had to drive those California freeways on the coast again, so I got a little bit of that still worked up in me. But you know, it's like, I bless you. Here, have that space in front of me. You don't need to drive me off the road. But think about doing this in the workplace and with your neighbors, and be merciful. This is outrageous levels of blessing. And now just turn over to chapter 10. And Jesus tells the story of an unlikely blesser. And it's a parable. And it's the parable of the Good Samaritan. And when you look at this on the heels of what he just taught about blessing, it's another outrageous story of a man, a Jew, who was mugged on a country road, left to die, everything taken from him. And the context of this is that there's a lawyer debating with Jesus. What does it mean to really love your neighbor? Love is also an expression of blessing, obviously. It's the greatest commandment. Second greatest, the first is love God, then love your neighbor. And it says in verse 29, but he, the lawyer, desiring to justify himself, said to Jesus, and who is my neighbor? And so Jesus tells this parable of this man in great need of mercy and blessing. And in this story, two very well-respected religious types like me, pastors and leaders in the church, see this mugged Samaritan, this mugged man, Jewish man, and step aside and don't help him, won't bless him, won't have any mercy on him. But a Samaritan, that's why it's called the Good Samaritan story, who is what in relationship to the religious Jewish types in Israel? An outcast and an enemy. Just what Jesus was talking about, right? You know, and the Samaritans, they're jerks, all of them, every one of them. And yet, the Samaritan, knowing how they feel about him and that they're his enemies in a sense, does what? He helps this man. He gives, he pays for his care and food. He gives extra money. He returns to see how he's faring. And so we see this unlikely person become an outrageous blesser to a man who his people hate him. That's crazy. Come on, that's just, I think that's amazing. And in verse 36, Jesus says at the end of his parable to the lawyer, which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers? He said, the one who showed him mercy. And Jesus said to him, here it comes, you go and do likewise. Another command, you go and be a blesser. And I just love that story because Jesus turns the lawyer's question around from how does one know which neighbor to bless God to am I a neighbor who will go and bless the world? And so I like how Jesus turns that around. So you are blessed to be, and me, an outrageous blesser in the world. But you will need to pray if this is going to be true. Which now brings us to three reasons why we want to pray. And the first, and so what I'm going to show you in the scriptures is there's three reasons for us to begin with prayer, but at the end of each one, we will also have three prayers. And so to begin this, I want to actually invite Sarah to come on up and share her story that just happened this week. And we can stand on here. And so I want you to know God's hands is in this series because as I'm preparing this, I get a text and it's exactly in line with what God was wanting to do with Sarah as a blesser with somebody in her life. And so, so Sarah, why don't you share your story?
So I work at the Princeton Club, and I'm sorry, I'm getting over a cold, so excuse my voice. I work at the Princeton Club, and I supervise a couple departments there. And I interviewed a woman named Priscilla 3 weeks ago. And in the course of her interview, she just shared why she came to Madison. The father of her son was killed in a drive-by shooting in Chicago about 4 months ago. So she moved she and her kids here to Madison to just be in a safer place. She said she would never consider letting her kids play in the backyard where she was living in Chicago, and here her kids can play kickball in the backyard, so it was very peaceful for her to move. She's worked here for about 3 weeks, and in just getting to know her a little bit more in her interview, I just started to pray for her. She's super, super sweet. I sensed that maybe she didn't know Jesus fully, so I just began to pray. And I was asking God for opportunities to talk with her, and I wanted him to open the door in a way that was really clear, because I have found I can push the door open. It's more fruitful when he opens the door and I walk through it. So I was just praying for him to open the door with her. And last Sunday, she came into the club. She works with me on Sunday afternoons. And she walked into my office. She was super, super, like, chipper and smiley. And I said, what do you have? And she said, I've been praying about something, and it came true, and I just wanted to share it with you. So she shared her story, and I just looked at her. I said, so you pray? And she's like, I haven't prayed for years, and all of a sudden I come to start working here, and all of a sudden I'm praying. And I said, oh, wow, that's really great. I said, so what's your relationship with Jesus look like? And she's just like, what? So at that point I knew that the door had been opened. So I just said, do you have time? I said, I'd love to just talk with you about Jesus. And I shared with her the gospel and how it's only through him that we have everlasting faith. So we got to pray, and she received Jesus as her Lord and Savior last Sunday. And that was really cool. It was the highlight of my day. And then after we got done praying, she just started to cry, and she goes, I literally just this morning sent a text to my best friend asking her to pray for me because I feel like I need to get more involved in church again. And I said, that's the Holy Spirit preparing your heart for this decision. Way to go. And I said, now go home and tell your best friend. So she did. This was Sunday. And then Wednesday, she got a call while she was at the club and found out that both of her parents were killed in a car accident. And she's an only child. So that was life-altering for her. And I feel like the timing was significant for her to receive Jesus as her Lord and Savior because now she has hope that she will see them again. But I just sent to Craig and Jill just because of the timing, and I'm like, can you just pray for her that this will not rob her of her salvation? And then I sent it to some other people to pray to. And Craig gave me permission to pray this morning in front of the whole church for my friend Priscilla.
Go, Brett.
So this is what it's all about. Lord Jesus, we just thank you for Priscilla. We thank you for how you prepared her heart to receive your son. And Lord, in all of this, we just pray, God, that you would protect her heart, that you would protect her mind, that you would protect her thoughts, and that what the enemy would try and use to rob her of salvation, God, that you would just protect her. And I'm just impressed that her nickname is Passion. And Lord, as a body here, we call forth a passion for you, God, that would not be quenched in any way, in Jesus' name. We just thank you for her positioning here in Madison. We thank you for everything that you lined up to get her to this place. But we just ask for a deeper level of passion for you, that her kids would be protected, that she would be comforted as only you can comfort. And we just thank you for the opportunity to get to know her more. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Sarah. It really matters. It really matters that we can be this blessing to others. You see how only God knew how much Priscilla would need him in a short time of losing a son to losing both parents. And so we just praise you, God, for Sarah's boldness to be a blessing. So first result is prayer creates divine opportunities. And I hope you heard that in her story. She prays. And you need to know that every new worker that comes on the staff under Sarah, and she prays for them and hopes to bring them a little closer to God. And she wouldn't tell you that, but she prays for them and makes them a part of her daily prayer. So Jesus also, obviously, always prayed and worked to be a blessing. And, I mean, we know he even began his journey in the desert fasting, and we know he prayed. He prayed often. He would be, when you wanted to find him, you'd go to a quiet, lonely place, and he'd be praying. And when you read words in the Bible, in the New Testament stories about Mount of Olives or in Garden of Gethsemane where there was olive trees, you can go there today and see those olive trees. You got to ask yourself, well, and Jesus was there all the time. He was always taking his disciples there to Mount Olives. What was he doing? Why was he there? Well, he really liked olives. But he also really liked to pray. And so Jesus would live his life, because you got to remember, he was looking for what his Father in heaven was doing, and he wanted to work with his Father. So Jesus is looking for divine opportunities to bless others. And some people call this divine appointments. That's another good word of looking at opportunities and appointments, meaning, as you just heard, Priscilla had just asked, literally just asked her friend to pray about the spiritual condition of her life, and then she meets Sarah and they pray. And that wasn't coincidence, people. That was a divine appointment. And so Jesus walks his life, and it's fun when we're in Luke, and if you look at Luke 9, 13 and 16, you discover that there are a lot of hungry people. Matter of fact, 5,000 and more people that are hanging on his every word, and they grow hungry. And Jesus says, and his disciples want to send them away because there's no way they can feed them. And Jesus says in Luke 9:13, he says, but he said to them, you give them something to eat. They said, we have no more than 5 loaves and 2 fish unless we are to go and buy food for all these people. And so they see something impossible. And Jesus then does what? He asks them to bring to him the fish and the loaves. And then in verse 16, we see this. He says, and taking the 5 loaves and 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and said, a blessing over them. That's a prayer. And so Jesus knows how critical it is to pray if we're going to be outrageous blessers. And he prays, and then he broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples to set before the crowd. And as you know how the story goes, everybody gets fed. Or another divine, so that was a divine opportunity. Another one would be, and I love this story in Luke 19. Jesus is walking along the road in Luke 19, and he comes across a little man standing in a tree. How odd. And you might pause and look at that odd sight, but what does Jesus do? If you listen carefully to these words, they're astounding because they give us so much insight into this idea of prayer and blessing. He looks up in the tree, and he says to him, and by the way, he says, "Zacchaeus, hurry, come down, for I must stay at your house today." Now pause a moment. You all know the story, but you have to read it with fresh eyes. How did Jesus know Zacchaeus' name? How did Jesus know he would need to go to his house today and eat? I don't know quite how it worked for Jesus, but I know that he listened and prayed to his Father. And I think in that spiritual relationship with his Father in heaven, looking to be a blessing, this was one of those times he saw it coming. He knew this man's name and that he would eat with him. And he did, and this was one of those antagonists we were talking about, one of those jerks to the rest of the people, and he turned him into a friend of God. And so I love that Jesus was always looking for those opportunities. And so we see that we have to pray if we are going to be blessers. And so when you walk through the Gospel of Luke and the disciples, imagine the disciples, they're hearing him teach. Sure, that's good. But they're watching him heal sick people. They're watching him cast out demons from people. They've seen him multiply bread. They've seen him do all these incredible blessings to the people around them, make outcasts feel like insiders with God over and over. And so they get to this point, and they've heard him also talk about bless and pray for your enemy. So is it any wonder when we get to Luke 11, we read this? Now Jesus was praying in a certain place. Oh wait, what was Jesus doing? Oh yeah, praying. Okay, so he's praying, as he seems to do a lot. And when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples." So they realize this Jesus way lifestyle is gonna take prayer, and it must be different than the kind of rote prayers they've been doing growing up. And so they saw something in him, and they needed that if they were gonna bless like their Savior blesses. And Jesus said to them, "When you pray," in verse 2, "say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come." And so in this version of it, Jesus is condensed down, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." But he connects them to the Father, like he prayed when he asked blessings on that food to feed 5,000. And he condenses this down into "your kingdom come." Now, the thing you need to understand when you say "your kingdom come" is that you are praying that you can be a participant in God's kingdom. That you, when you say, "Father, your kingdom come," what's God's kingdom about? Ideas? What, when we say "your kingdom come," what are we really praying? Hearing a lot of whispering, but we are at, you know, on one level, kingdom power, you know, we're praying the authority of God come into someone's life so their life is surrendered to following him. His kingdom is a kingdom of truth. We're praying God's truth come into that person's life. His kingdom is a kingdom of goodness and mercy and generosity. And we've seen what God, when God's kingdom, people gets healed, people get fed. God's kingdom is a kingdom of blessing if it comes into somebody's life. All these things, God's truth, Jesus himself, all his authority, all these things, when you say, "May it come into this world, may it come into other people's lives," you're saying, Father, I want to join you in the family business of blessing. Amen. That's what that prayer means. Praying for divine opportunities and appointments. It's important to begin with prayer. It's important to ask the Father, where can I be a blessing today? Give me that divine appointment. Because you know what happens when I don't pray for that divine appointment? But I want to be a blessing. But you know where I end up? My appointment is always ends up at Dairy Queen getting a pecan blizzard. Cluster. Pecan cluster blizzard. That's what happens when you don't pray. You just seek your own blessing. Amen? Sorry, just having fun. So, that's the first result, is prayer that creates divine opportunities. So, at the bottom of that section in your outline, there's a question. So, the question is, who are the people in your life who are in the circles of opportunities that God would give you to bless somebody? Think about that. I want you to literally think, who are, and there's really basically five circles of opportunity you have. There's friends, there's neighbors, there's family, there's coworkers, and then there's that acquaintance, and sometimes the unexpected acquaintance. This is your circles of opportunity. So, but what we're asking you to do, the first prayer with the first result is, Lord, who are 3 to 5 people that you want me to pray for daily? Let's have a season where we pray for 3 to 5 people. Lord, who are 3 to 5 people that you want me to pray for daily? Create a divine opportunity for me to bless them. Let's start praying that as a church. Will you? You heard the impact it can have. All right, second result. Prayer empowers our blessing. You see, the Jesus way of blessing is powerful, but you can't do it, again, without prayer. When Jesus, we already read Luke 9 with the 5,000, there was a problem. Not enough food. A lot of hungry people. It needed prayer. Prayer empowers our blessings. Let's look at another Luke story also in chapter 9, Luke 9, verse 40. There's a boy, and we're not going to read the whole story, but in context, there is a boy in deep need of healing because he has an unclean spirit. If you're visiting, you need to understand, in New Crossing Church, we believe God's real, and he has angels, and we believe Satan's real, and he has his fallen angels, and that's what this boy had, and it created a physical illness. Sometimes we don't know. Is it just a simple physical illness, or is Satan behind this? Either way, we need to pray. But what's interesting about this story is the disciples, who had already been sent out by this time in the gospel, had healed. Jesus sent them out, and they healed people, and they cast out demons, and they told of the coming of God's kingdom and the good news. And in this, though, in verse 16, this is what we read verse 40, when a father asked them to pray for his son. And the father says to Jesus, I begged your disciples to cast it out, but they could not. They could not. But they'd been doing it all day long. What's the problem? The answer to that is real clear in Mark 9, and you don't need to turn there. I'll read it for you. But his disciples, after this whole incident, as we read it in Luke, go to Jesus in Mark 9, verse 28. When Jesus entered the house, his disciples asked him privately, because they were kind of embarrassed, you know, why could we not cast it out? And Jesus said to them, this kind cannot be driven out by anything but prayer. Prayer empowers our blessings. The disciples tried to bless the boy, but they didn't have enough prayer behind the blessing. When he says this requires prayer, what he's trying to say is they needed more time and energy if their blessing was going to be successful. So let's take that to heart, that you and I need more time and energy in our prayers. And if we're going to experience the power of the blessing God's wanting to give to somebody. My own testimony in this the testimony will kind of make sense. But here's what you need to think of yourself, okay? If you need a picture what is a follower of Jesus? A follower of Jesus is a cordless power tool with an 18-volt lithium battery. Yeah, okay, all the men going, yeah, I like that. No more flower illustrations. But really think of yourself as a cordless power tool designed to be charged up. Now, you ever grab your power tool, and, you know, you go to drill something or saw something that's click, click. That's what you and I are like without prayer. Click, click, nothing happens. What do you need to do? Get recharged. Get filled up again. There's always more of that where that comes from, but it comes from plugging in. How do we plug in? Prayer. Is this good? Yes. So to make it real, so my story was I had the wonderful opportunities of leading some people to Christ as a young Christian when I was working electronics in the Silicon Valley, and God got a hold of me, and it's like when you realize, wow, God's forgiven me of so much, and he's transformed my life, and I wanted other people to know it. And so I got to introduce several people to Jesus, and they became Christians. And then when I was, I got to know this one young lady, and Jill and I are married by this point in my life, and I'm an engineer, and I go out to the test floor where our product is being tested, and there's this wonderful young lady, Dietra, and she doesn't know Jesus, and I've got to know her through some conversations, and I say, hey, you know, during lunchtime, you want to, I would love to be able to talk to you about some spiritual stuff and let you know what it means to be a Christian. You know, would you like to know more about that? And she actually said yes. And so in those days, you know, because I was just come out of the college group, and we were taught how to use one of those spiritual tracks. And I know we don't use those. They're not bad. They work. You know, anything works if it's got God's word and Jesus in it. And I don't, you know, but so it's like, I don't know how you feel about those, but it's like, I'll use anything. And so in those days, I was using this really formulaic, which, you know, and it's like nowadays, you know, we're so relational and we're like, that actually Satan created those. But it has the words, and I would just mechanically read the words and read the scriptures and I'd ask them questions, engage them, and a lot of people would become Christians through that, and it just shows you how God can overcome, you know, anything, any obstacle. But what's interesting is this time when I'm sitting down with Dietra and we're going through this together and I'm asking her questions and I'm reading the scripture passages, yeah, I'm talking to a stone wall. It's like, it is having no impact on her. Matter of fact, I don't know if she's just indifferent to it or if, you know, or she's just confused, but it fell on deaf ears. And it's like, and so I'm driving home from work that night on Highway 17, and it's like, and I'm thinking about what happened, you know, and it's not that we can save anybody, but I really thought God had his hand on her life. And she was ready, and actually I felt my heart move to tears for Dietra. You know, it's like, you know, God, you know, how come she didn't get it? How come she wasn't interested? And I heard in my heart, you didn't pray enough. That's it, just, you didn't pray enough. And so I determined I would start praying. And I said, God, if you give me another opportunity, I will pray. Well, I wasn't going to pray anyway, but I prayed, actually. Will you give me another opportunity? And so the next week, So Deidre, you know, we had that conversation, and I'm not sure if it made sense or not, but could I, you would think, who would do this? You know, could I share one more time? And she's like, okay. And so I literally, people, did nothing different. I read the same track. I read the same words. I read the same verses. I asked the same questions. I didn't try and embellish it better this time or anything. I did nothing different. And she's gone, and her face lights up. She goes, she was like, this is true? And she prayed there and received Christ into her life. And her life, and she needed that, just like you heard in Sarah's testimony, for reasons maybe I'll share at another time. Her life was transformed, and she needed Jesus in her life. We all do. But just to say, what was the difference? Exact same Bible verses, exact same words, same prayer, prayer, prayer. So, we are not trying to help people become religious, but we are trying to help people know Jesus and get saved. That's the second prayer. Is prayer empowers our blessings. And the second prayer to go with it is, Lord. The first one was who. This one is how. Lord, how do you want me to bless them? Help me to work with you in the power of your Spirit in the places you send me. Lord, how do you want me to bless them? Help me to work with you in the power of your Spirit in the places you send me. Amen. All right, third result of prayer, the last one, is that it emboldens you to bless. So not only do you need to be empowered, your blessings need to be empowered, you need to be emboldened. I like that word. Again, turn to Luke. And this time you're going to be surprised who needed to be emboldened with prayer. Luke chapter 22. Jesus is now on his way to a crucifixion. And he knows it. He knows he's going to be killed and beaten and suffer. He knows he's doing it. This is his ultimate blessing, is saving the world. And we read this in Luke 22, verse 39. And he came out, Jesus, and went as was what? His custom was to go to Mount Olives in the garden and pray and meet with his disciples. And he came out and went, as was his custom, to the mountain. By the way, how did Judas know where to find him? You know, who betrayed him? How did he know where to find Jesus? There's only one place Jesus is going to be. If he's not in the temple teaching or healing people, blessing them, he's going to be praying at Mount Olives. And the disciples followed him. And verse 40, and when he came to the place, he said to them, pray that you may not enter into temptation. And verse 41, and he withdrew from them about a stone's throw and knelt down and prayed. Verse 42, saying, Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. He needed to be emboldened. He needed to be strengthened. He did not want to be this kind of blessing. Who would? Even Jesus had to begin with prayer to be the ultimate blessing the world needed. And then our last verse, turn over to Acts, and this speaks to you and me. Acts chapter 4. Now Jesus has risen, he's filled up his people with the Holy Spirit, and Peter and John got in big trouble for preaching about Jesus. And the church gathers together, and in chapter 4, verse 29 through 31, we read, and now they're praying, and now, Lord, look upon their threats and grant to your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness while you stretch out your hand to heal, and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. And so we need prayers to embolden us to be these blessings where we get to see God do his amazing work. And that's the third result, and the third prayer is simple. Lord, give me boldness to speak and do your will as we bless others. Lord, give me boldness to speak and to do your will as we bless others. So the worship team can come up. And let me just close with this point. The greatest blessing you can give somebody is Jesus. The greatest blessing you can give somebody is Jesus. But remember, Jesus lives within you and his Spirit empowers you. So when you pray and give yourself as a blessing to others, you essentially are bringing Christ to them. So let's pray. Lord, this is a prayer for prayer. Lord, I myself have more often than I want to admit gone about your kingdom work to be a blessing without a prayer. I thank you for the day you taught me that and pray I can keep remembering that it doesn't matter, even if it's the very word of God, if there's no prayer behind it, there's no power in it. And Lord, we know too that you have poured all your blessings on us for the purpose of being outrageous blessers in the world, and help us to do that. And Lord, we're going to need courage. We're going to need that kind of courage that will give us a boldness to get out of our comfort zones. Just like Abraham, when you said go, he had to get out of his comfort zone. And let us be like Abraham and Sarah's that go, and then we become blessings. And so, Lord, move in this church. Move in our lives. And I'm asking that you create, through these prayers, divine opportunities to bless others this week, next week. I pray that you will put on each one of these hearts, 3 to 5 people, and me included, that you are actually ready to bring a blessing into their lives through us. We know you love all the world and want it saved, but you give us, you are creating, like you did in Sarah's own testimony, a specific opportunity to do that. So let us have eyes, Jesus, like yours, to not miss it, to pray in your Spirit, and then go bless. And all of God's people said, amen.